Our reading for Wednesday, April 15th, is going to be from the book of John, chapter 14, starting in verse 1. John 14, verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe in me, that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not the world? Jesus answered him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me. But I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. This discourse here in chapter 14, I think, continues out of chapter 13, so it's the same setting. I would remind you back in chapter 13, verse 1, that this was before the feast of the Passover. Jesus knew that his hour had come, and he begins preparing them, discussing some things with them, telling them that one of them would betray them, giving them that new commandment in verse 34 and 35 that's so important to the disciples of Jesus. And then, of course, Jesus telling Peter that he was going to deny him. And a lot of this would have been very distressing. So verse 1 of chapter 14, he starts out with, Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Another way that this could be translated or put together is, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me, as a statement rather than a commandment to believe. And I think that might be a little bit more accurate simply because they were already believers. And he's saying, believe also in me. But then verse 2, when he goes into my Father's house, there's many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? This is part of that consoling for them. He's going to be going away. They're not going to be able to follow. He's already told them that. And he's telling them something comforting, that I'm going to go prepare a place. And it's going to be a later time, basically. That's what he gives in verse 3. I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am you may be also. And then verse 4, you know the way to where I'm going. They're not quite putting two and two together, just like I talked about yesterday. A lot of these things were shared with the disciples, perhaps with the idea that they would understand it later, after Jesus opens their understanding and after they've had time to wrestle with everything. But they're not quite understanding, because they're thinking of it again as, you know, but going from one city to another city, where I'm going. And he says, you know the way to where I am going. Well, he's going back to the Father. Thomas then speaks up and says, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? In other words, if I don't know where you're going to be, then I cannot know the way to get there. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Well, he's going to the Father. If you want to arrive at the same destination, you have to go through Jesus. Verse 7, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. They've seen him in Jesus. Jesus is the representation of the Father as he's with them. Philip then says, Lord, show us the Father. Well, this is a problem, because he's already been showing them by his own words, by his own actions. So, verse 9, have I been with you so long and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. So then how can you say, show us the Father? And he goes on, verse 10, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? He's been talking about this unity for quite a while now. You know, don't you believe this? If you believe in me, then you have to believe this. And so he says, the words I say, that I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. So, verse 11, then, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. I'm not sure what to completely do with verse 11. You know, believe me that I am in the Father. Believe in this unity. Believe that I come on, you know, being sent by the Father. But then he says, or else believe on account of the works themselves. And I think what he's saying is that if you can't get yourselves all the way there, then at least believe on the works, because we've already established that the only way that Jesus could do these things is with God the Father providing the power for him to do that. Even all the way back to Nicodemus, that recognition was made. Then verse 12, truly I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. The greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. So the language in this verse can be a little bit troubling. Jesus has raised the dead. He's healed the sick. He's granted sight to the blind. He has made the lame walk. He has cast out leprosy. And I'm sure many other things I'm not thinking of at this moment. But he makes this statement that greater works than these. We think of greater, and we think as, well, what's greater than, you know, raising somebody from the dead? What could be beyond that? And that's not really the way greater is used here. Greater here means the impact of what they're going to do. So even though many people have seen the works of Jesus, the lasting impact is going to be after Jesus ascends to heaven and his apostles begin doing the work of preaching the gospel. The church is established, and that effect goes on for now hundreds and now thousands of years. So it is the greater impact which he is referring to. I don't think he's referring to greater miracles in any way. Verse 13, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I would first point out that when we find in my name, we need to realize that that means by the authority of. So when he says, if you ask me anything, he doesn't literally mean anything. You know, I'd like a new bike, I'd like a new car, you know, that type of stuff. He's talking about according to the authority and the will of the Lord. So if you ask anything according to my authority and my will, then I will do it. So that's the caveat we need to realize exists within those two verses. I would add to that also that the Father is only glorified when it is His will that is being done. So that wouldn't include something that would be outside of His will either. Verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's pretty self-explanatory. Verse 16, I will ask the Father, He will give you another helper to be with you forever. He begins telling them about the Holy Spirit coming. The Spirit of Truth, verse 17, something that the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. He says, I'm going away. I'm not going to leave you ill-prepared, and I'm not going to leave you alone. And he begins to tell them about the Holy Spirit that would come to them. And so, verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. Verse 19, yet a little while and the world will see me no more. I'm going to go away, going to be crucified, and then ascend into heaven. But you will see me, and because I live, you also will live. Of course, they'll see him after his resurrection, but they'll also have the Holy Spirit with them after his ascension as well. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father. So, you know, what's the greatest commandment? The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, body, soul, everything that you have, everything that you can offer. And so that the love and commandments go together. And if we say we love God, but we won't keep his commandments, then we're not telling the truth. You know, maybe we've got some sort of affection, but can it really be called love on this kind of scale? No. Verse 22, Judas, but not Judas Iscariot, says, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Verse 23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. I don't think this is too difficult to understand. I would point you toward 1 Corinthians chapter 3, as well as 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and then 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul speaks in the same way about, the temple of the Holy Spirit, the temple of the living God, your body is this temple. So he's telling them something that maybe was a little difficult for them to comprehend at the moment, but it was something they would understand later. Verse 24, whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So, you know, the opposite of verse 15, but it's the same meaning. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you don't love me, then you won't. And it's not just mine, but it's the Father's who sent me. Verse 25, these things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, bring to you remembrance. So I think that's a comforting phrase. Even if you don't understand all of this now, later on you're going to be able to understand this because of the Helper that I'm going to send. Verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And he's talking about going away. Verse 28, you heard me say, I'm going away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I'm going to the Father. Well, I don't think he's telling them that they don't love him. I think that what he's telling them is you have to love my purpose as the Son of God more than, you know, that physical friendship and the time that you've spent with him on this earth. His purpose has to be greater. Now, I have told you before it takes place so that when it does take place, you'll believe. And then he tells them, you know, I'm not going to talk much more about this. And then he says, verse 31, I do as the Father commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. And then rise, let us go from here. So some important things for them, and they're important things for us as well as we read it 2,000 years later, to see the unity between the Father and the Son and what the magnitude of that unity is and what it truly means. It means that not only is he doing the will of the Father, but it's going to mean some cost, and it's going to mean that he's going to have to go away. So they needed to know these things and to be comforted. And when the Helper comes, then they would be in a position to truly understand these things on a much better level. Thank you for listening today, and I hope that you'll be back tomorrow for another reading from the book of John.